You're listening to the Redeemer Theological Academy with Pastor Brian Cashelmeyer of Redeemer Lutheran Church, Los Alamos, New Mexico. On the Redeemer Theological Academy, we mine the riches of the Scripture and the Church Fathers and find in them Jesus, our Savior, our Redeemer. Here's the Academy with Pastor Cashelmeyer.
Welcome back to the Redeemer Theological Academy. Now, in today's lecture, we are going to begin Isaiah chapter 44. And we've got a lot to talk about, so let's go ahead and get started. Now, in this chapter, I want us to focus on verse 22, in which we have this wonderful promise. The Lord tells us, "I have blotted out your transgressions like a cloud, and your sins like mist. Return to me, for I have redeemed you." Now, these words of the Lord should sound familiar in our ears. They're an echo of what we heard back in chapter 43 at verse 25, in which the Lord had declared, I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. So with these two chapters, in these two passages, we have this wonderful message from the Lord of who he is and what he does. He is the one who blots out transgressions. He is the one who does not remember sin. And he uses the imagery, of course, like a cloud or a mist. It's gone. It vanishes. It is no more. Now, when Martin Luther, the Blessed Reformer, was meditating upon this passage, chapter 44, the entire chapter, of course, and he's thinking about this chapter, and he says as a synopsis, in this chapter, we hear about the righteousness of God, that is an alien, an external righteousness, a borrowed righteousness that God gives to us by grace. So Luther says that this righteousness of God, that's what preserves us. Now Luther will contrast this with our own righteousness apart from God. And that kind of a righteousness really isn't right at all. It's only right in our own sight. And Luther will say it condemns us. So this chapter, Luther is pointing out that it is giving comfort to those who cling to God, who receive this borrowed righteousness, this bestowed righteousness as a gift, and they then let go of the idols that they were clinging to before. Now let's go ahead and look at verse 1 in this chapter. The Lord declares, "But hear now, O Jacob, my servant, Israel, whom I have chosen. Thus says Yahweh, who made you, who formed you from the womb, and will help you. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, Jeshurun, whom I have chosen." Now, with these words of comfort, the Lord assures his people that they are his people. He has created them. He has redeemed them. He has called them, and he has chosen them. Therefore, they have found favor with the triune God. They have not merited or deserved this favor. This is totally a gift. This comes from God because of who God is. Now, all the actions of God toward his people are only out of pure mercy and grace. He promises to forget their past and restore them for the future. And he does this through the hearing of his word, this voice that clearly speaks his promises, the assurance of forgiveness, life, and salvation. Now, as we said at the beginning, we want to make a direct connection to the previous chapter. Now, the people of God did not live up to their identity as his called and chosen people. They did not live like his servants. They were always looking for something else to serve. In fact, they looked to the fallen creation, and that's what they believed in. That's what they trusted, and that's what they were clinging to instead of the Creator. Now again, back in chapter 43, the Lord had declared, "You," of course that's the people of God who have failed to live up to their identity, "you have not bought me sweet cane with money, or satisfied me with the fat of your sacrifices, but you have burdened me with your sins. You have wearied me with your iniquities." Of course, this is bad news. This is terrible news to the people of God. And for this reason, the people should most assuredly fear God's wrath because of their sins and transgressions. They have provoked the Lord to anger. However, the Lord, who is the author of good news, is the same one who speaks to his people in chapter 43, giving them good news. He calls his people to repentance so that he can bring his people back to him and bestow life upon them. So in chapter 43, he will declare, "Fear not." Well, why is it? Again, they have provoked God to anger. They should fear God's wrath. But the Lord assures them that he has come not to destroy them, but he comes to save them. The Lord assures them with his word, I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. The Holy Spirit continues to teach us that the righteous shall live by faith, trusting in the promises of God who has called us and chosen us, that God's favor is freely given to us all for the sake of Christ, the true servant, the faithful servant, the suffering servant who is afflicted because of our sins and transgressions. So again, in chapter 43, the Lord assures them that he is the one who blots out transgressions. And that's what he says here in chapter 44. I have blotted out your transgressions. Now, if we go all the way back to chapter 42, we see this continuous theme. That in chapter 42, picking up at verse 24, who is the one who gave Jacob to plunder, to a plunderer, that is? And who is Israel given up to the plunderer? Was it not Yahweh against whom we have sinned? And they were not willing to walk in his ways, and they did not obey his law. So he poured out his anger upon them and the strength of war, and it set him afire all around, ablaze. But he did not understand, and it burned him, and he did not take it to heart. Now that was the message that was going out. These things took place so that the Israelites, the people of God, would be called back to faith. Now let us be clear here, they are not being called back to faith in their own works, in their own actions, in their own faithfulness. That's not what they're called back to. Instead, they're called back to God's voice, to hear his promise. They recognize their sin, and now the Lord will reveal their Savior. And that's exactly what he was doing in Isaiah chapter 42. Behold, my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him, and he will bring forth justice to the nations. So it's the faithful servant, the suffering servant, which is none other than Christ our Lord, that the people were to understand that they need a Savior. He is the faithful servant. He is the one who alone is righteous, and his righteousness is now reckoned and accounted to the people of God. And therefore, they can be declared to be a servant of God. He remembers their unfaithfulness no more. He blots that out. So no longer are they called the unfaithful servant. Instead, in Christ, they are a new creation. There is no condemnation. So what does God the Father see? He sees the Son. So in Isaiah chapter 44, he can cry out and declare to them, "But now hear this, O Jacob, my servant, Israel, whom I have chosen. Thus says Yahweh, who made you, who formed you from the womb, and who will help you. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, Jeshurun, whom I have chosen." So in this passage, we have this clemency for the crimes of apostasy. Israel is not totally lost. There is always this righteous remnant. For the sake of that small group of people, this word of God continues to be heard and taught and continues to be trusted in. So that small righteous remnant clings to these promises, when in fact the majority apostatize and continue to reject the word of God. Now, in this passage, we want to notice again that this one who is the creator, this one is the one who he makes and he forms. He's reminding Israel that he has made Israel. He has formed Israel. Now, both Eusebius and Cyril of Alexandria, they both connect these words of comfort to the apostolic band and the early church that was planted. That these are the words of the apostles, that they have been chosen, that they have been given as spiritual water. That is, they are the source through which the Word of God pours forth, and the Holy Spirit pours forth, that brings forth life on the face of the earth. And so therefore, you then have offspring. The apostles plant and water. When we go back to Isaiah 44 and we pick up at verse 3, it says, "For I will pour out water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon your offspring and my blessing on your descendants. They shall spring up among the grass like willows by flowing streams." And when the apostles are sent out, they water the earth with the waters of holy baptism, the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. Now, this, of course, is creation language. And as we're talking in Isaiah, it's new creation language because we are looking toward the new heavens and the new earth. The creation will be restored in the incarnation. So the whole language of I have made you, I have formed you, I will help you. The pouring out of water on the land, and of course the Spirit over the water. This goes all the way back to Genesis. For instance, picking up at Genesis chapter 2, it was the Lord God who said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make for him a helper fit for him." So a helper is to bring forth life and to flourish and to help one persevere. It's not a negative or a derogatory term that Eve is referred to as a helper, because God himself is the true helper. Now, the gift of a wife was to bring forth life. However, Eve did not end up helping when she brought forth the fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. She actually introduces Adam to sin and death. But ultimately, God is the helper, so that man will not be alone. This is incarnational language, that one will become flesh of his flesh, bone of his bone, one who will be blood of his blood, who will be born of the woman, the seed that will crush the serpent's head, so that in this true man, in this true helper, man will live and flourish. Throughout the scriptures, we are taught to trust in God as our helper. For example, in Psalm 70, we are taught to proclaim and praise God and come before him by saying, "Make haste, O God, to deliver me. O Yahweh, make haste to help me." And then you go on in that psalm and say, "I am poor and needy. Hasten to me, O God. You are my helper and my deliverer. O Yahweh, do not delay." Or another example can be seen in Psalm 121, in which we are taught by the Holy Spirit to say, "I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from Yahweh, who made heaven and earth." Now take note of the incarnational language in Psalm 121, that Yahweh is the one who made heaven and earth. In fact, the psalmist will go on to teach us to say this, "Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. Yahweh is your keeper. Yahweh is your shade on your right hand. And Yahweh will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life." The language of the keeper, of course, goes back to creation. Remember, Cain was to be his brother's keeper. But instead of being the keeper of the life of Abel, Cain is the one who takes the life away by murder. But Yahweh is the one who will be the true keeper of our life. And again, this is incarnational language, that our brother is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, who will keep us, and he will continue to be with us and preserve us in his life. Now, another example can be seen in Psalm 124, in which we say, "Our help is in the name of Yahweh, who made heaven and earth." Again, help going back to the creation language, that Yahweh is the helper. Yahweh is the one who made heaven and earth. Or again, you can see this in Psalm 146, in which we are taught, "Put not your trust in princes, in a son of man, in whom there is no salvation. For when his breath departs, he returns to the earth. On that very day, his plans perish. Blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in Yahweh his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, who keeps faith forever, who executes justice for the oppressed and gives food to the hungry. Yahweh sets the prisoners free. Yahweh opens the eyes of the blind. Yahweh lifts up those who are bowed down. Yahweh loves the righteous." Now keep these words and thoughts in mind when we go through Isaiah. Remember, this whole understanding of the righteous servant, the one who is Yahweh in the flesh, he's the one who's going to execute justice. He is going to be there for the oppressed. He will feed the hungry. He's the one who will set the prisoners free and, of course, give sight to the blind. Now let's get back to Isaiah chapter 44 at verse 2. "Thus says Yahweh, who made you, who formed you from the womb, and who will help you. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, Jeshurun, whom I have chosen." Now at this time, we want to connect these words of Isaiah to the words of Moses, not at the beginning in creation in Genesis chapters 1 and 2, but instead at the end of Deuteronomy, specifically at Deuteronomy 32, with the name Jeshurun. Here we have this language of comfort. "Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, and Jeshurun, whom I have chosen." Now, Jeshurun is a name of apostasy. Jacob and Israel in this name is connected to promise. Now, Jeshurun, of course, means the upright one, but it's connected to apostasy because of the words of Moses in Deuteronomy 32. So when the prophet Isaiah is using the name Jeshurun, he reminds us of those words that Moses had used. Now, Moses is the only other author of all of the Holy Scriptures to use this name for the people of God. But again, it is used in the context of apostasy. You see, in Deuteronomy chapter 32, this song of Moses was given to the people of God so that they would understand that when they go into the promised land, they will forget the promises of God and, of course, forget God himself. Moses knew that Jeshurun, who was called and chosen by God, would forget the one who created him and the one who redeemed him. And so thus Moses writes in Deuteronomy chapter 32, starting at verse 15. But Jeshurun grew fat and kicked. You grew fat, stout, and sleek. Then he forsook God who made him and scoffed at the rock of his salvation. They stirred him to jealousy with strange gods. With abominations, they provoked him to anger. They sacrificed to demons that were not gods, to gods that they had never known, to new gods that had come recently, whom your fathers had never even dreaded. You were unmindful of the rock that bore you, and you forgot the God who gave you birth. Now, this is the song of Moses in Deuteronomy 32, that they would forget God. And when you forget God, you forget his word, and you engage in a different word, in a different practice, in idolatry, which of course is false worship, a false approach to God. Well, this is the same thing that was taking place in the days of the prophet Isaiah. They forgot the promises of Yahweh. They refused to listen to the voice of God. The people were living according to the way of the world and not according to the wisdom of the Lord. Now, we know that the way of the world leads to death. But Yahweh knows that fallen humanity will be tempted to follow after fallen creation. Thus, he speaks faith and life into his people through the power of his word. So in Deuteronomy chapter 32, as this song, God is giving this word to his people so that they will learn to hate wickedness and love righteousness. Now note that Jeshurun was given this song before he had actually entered into the promised land where his faith would be tested. Now after exposing the people's sin, the Lord then declares in Deuteronomy 32, "See now that I, even I, am he, and there is no God beside me. I kill, and I make alive. I wound, and I heal, and there is none that can deliver out of my hand." Now that's the promise that God gives to his people. So first he tells them that you, by nature, are human and corrupt, and therefore you will be led astray. But then God assures them that God, who by nature is righteous, good, and holy, he is the one who forgives, he heals, and he makes alive. And he's the one that delivers, and no one can deliver out of his hand. So when Moses writes this song to the people in chapter 32 of Deuteronomy, he then follows this up in chapter 33. On the same name of Jeshurun. So in chapter 33 at verse 2, we pick up and you hear, Yahweh came from Sinai, and yes, he loved his people, all his holy ones were in his hand, so they followed in your steps, receiving direction from you when Moses commanded us a law as a possession for the assembly of Jacob. And thus, Yahweh became king in Jeshurun, when the heads of the people were gathered, all the tribes of Israel together. So this is in Deuteronomy 33. Now we're focusing on the fact that Yahweh becomes king in Jeshurun. And Moses will continue in chapter 33 of Deuteronomy saying this, "There is none like God, O Jeshurun, who rides through the heavens to your help, through the skies in his majesty." Now notice the word help again, that Yahweh is the one who comes, rides to the help of Jeshurun. And of course, Yahweh is the only one who truly is Jeshurun, which means the upright one, because Israel, who was to be upright, became the exact opposite. They were led astray, away from the voice of God. But here, Moses is speaking these words into the ears of the hearer in order to bestow faith. As God's people, they are not to trust in any other God. There is no God, there is no other God, and there definitely isn't a God like the triune God who created the heavens and the earth and who alone is the true helper and the true right one. He is the one who redeemed his people from the bondage in Egypt. He is the one who will redeem his people from Babylon. And of course, this points to the ultimate redemption through the blood of Jesus, delivering us from oppression in the darkness of sin and deception of the devil. So these words of Moses are given to the people to sustain them, so that the righteous remnant will hear these words and they will be sustained and strengthened in their faith. Now, going back to Isaiah chapter 44, we pick up once again at verse 3, in which Yahweh says, "I will pour water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon your offspring and my blessing upon your descendants." Now, this language of pouring the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Blessed Trinity, his person and works upon the offspring, these are the adopted sons of God. You see, from the birth of the one comes the rebirth of the many. So throughout the book of Isaiah, we're talking about the promised servant, the faithful servant. We're talking about the one who is the true Jeshurun, the true right one, the one who never goes astray. And we have this promise given to us in Isaiah 7 that the Lord himself will give a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel, which is God with us. And then, of course, in chapter 8 of Isaiah, "Behold, I and the children whom the Lord has given me are signs and portents in Israel from Yahweh of hosts." So that the promised child, the son, will have many adopted sons. So the one who is the only begotten son, begotten from the Father before all eternity, who is true God of true God, begotten, not made, he, by nature, is of the same divine essence of God. But then we, by grace, become adopted and born again, or born from above. The Apostle Paul says in Galatians chapter 3, "For in Christ Jesus you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." And then later on in Galatians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul continues by saying, "And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God." Here the Lord pours out water and the Spirit upon the offspring.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Redeemer Theological Academy. For more episodes or to leave comments about this show, please visit our website, RedeemerTheologicalAcademy.org. Again, that's RedeemerTheologicalAcademy.org. Thanks for listening, and may our Redeemer Jesus Christ continue to be your life and salvation, your hope and your peace.